Stephen Jewell here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about, is it wrong to send low-value offers to owners?
This is hilarious.
You know, you might offend somebody.
Oh, that's so funny.
Somebody,
I have a lot to say.
Somebody might get angry with you about receiving an offer that's not up to their expectation. You might inconvenience somebody and put a little dent in their day.
How is that possible? You're not inconveniencing anybody, seriously. So I have a lot to say.
On all the stuff I own, cars, motorcycles, boats, I would love. This is an open invitation for anyone to send an offer on any of that stuff. I'd be happy to talk about it with you. All my stuff's for sale.
Right?
Before we get into it, I have a feeling, though, you and I
have some stuff I'm holding back.
You and I have. I have a pretty close to the same opinion on this.
Yep.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Jeff S. asks, there are a few operations. There are a few operations to get a deed signed and recorded, and I'm curious what type of mail you guys pay for and why. That's where he's going. Okay. Do you overnight? Priority, certified, when sending to a notary, from the notary to the county and back? Do you fold the deed up or put a big paper size envelope? Thank you.
So, you know, Jill, this is one of those questions that, and I handpicked this question for the show. It's a tiny little detail that I think, it's a culmination of all these little details in this business that freak people out.
Right.
So,
do you want me to share?
Yeah, walk us through.
Okay. So the first thing when I'm mailing somebody, we've negotiated the transaction and I have a notary coming to, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones's house on Tuesday, and I got to get the documents to the notary. I can't just email her an attachment and have her print it out, which I do as a backup, but because there's a payment involved. So there's going to be an envelope going out. So first thing I do is time kills deals. We've talked about this. So I do overnight it, and I do want to arrive the next day. So let's say it's Monday, and I'll set up the signing for Thursday just in case, right? So Monday to have the envelope arrive Tuesday, in case there's a goof up, I have Wednesday, and then they're going to do the signing on Thursday. But I do spend for the overnighting of it. Then, and I do USPS. It's like $13, I want to say, and I use the full size. I don't fold it up. I put it in a manila envelope, the deed, and an envelope inside there that says, you know, at signing, hand to seller, and that's for the notary to give to them. And then I also put in there, you know, a one-page instruction sheet, you know, just to make sure the notary has my contact information, has the signer's information and everything so they can connect. And then also in there, I do fold in half another overnight prepaid USPS envelope for them to get it back to me. So what's going to happen is it's going to go overnight, the notary's going to get it, do the signing, hand them the envelope, and then they're going to take the completed deed, put it back in my manila folder, and put it back into my regular size USPS overnight envelope to get it back to me. That's really the thing. Now from there, I'm not in any hurry because now it's done. They've been paid. Now I just need to get it recorded. At this time, I'm already trying to sell the property. But then when I do send it into the county, I don't pay extra postage. You know, like I don't need to get it there overnight. So I do maybe the $5 or $6 one, but I still keep it in a nice envelope. And I do tracking on there just because I want to make sure that I see that the recorder receives it.
There's tracking on everything.
Yeah.
About 5 years ago or so, the post office finally got up to speed and got tracking involved.
Yeah.
In those, it's USPS Priority. Yeah. Priority envelopes is what it is.
The flat rate.
Before that, we used UPS.
Right.
Do you use like stamps.com? Do you use software?
No, I just did the USPS.com.
Okay,
it's
so right on
their site,
software.
And it keeps my return information in there. It's really easy to add in an email for tracking. I also do, when I do tracking, like I'll send the tracking information to, I'll put the email in there of the notary so they can see and
so
watch the envelope, you know, coming to them with the deed, because there's a check in there.
Right.
I want to make
cashier
sure the
check.
Notary gets it, exactly.
What percentage of the time, if at all, does the post office fail?
At this rate, zero.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
We've tested this pretty hardcore. Yeah. We've used FedEx and just about went broke. You know, USPS is now, I think, the best solution.
It is. You know what I also do too, just as a little side note? When I'm selling the property, and now I've signed a deed, say the person bought the property, they checked out on my website, so the money was all handled that way, but I need to get the deliver a deed to them with recording instructions, I still put it in a regular USPS flat rate envelope. I'll do the $5 or $6 one, not the overnight one. There's not a rush. And I put it in the manila envelope and send it to them. Why? Because it's a big deal. And when these guys are plopping down, you know, maybe it's a couple $1,000s for a piece of property. I don't want it folded up with a regular stamp on it. It look like it's not important. But when it comes in a big, you know, envelope like that, it's inside a file and my thank you letter's in there and the deed's all signed, ready to go.
And a little handwritten note.
They love that.
In a color kind of cover. There's presentation counts.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I do the $5 or $6.
Usually some printed out maps are involved. We have a whole package. It's the, you know, we've never talked about this. I don't remember ever talking about this in episode 1000 and whatever this is.
Yeah.
So when it's like opening an iPhone. The packaging matters.
It does make a difference. It's true.
Today's topic, is it wrong to send low value offers to owners? This is the meat of the show.
Okay, I'm dying to know. Okay, Stephen, why did Stephen pick this topic? And I'm like, why are we talking about this?
There's some chatter about this on the internet.
I didn't know.
And that's the real reason, because I think it goes without saying, but, you know, spoiler alert, the sarcasm on this show is about to go through the roof.
Well, we can all identify. Like right now, I have one of your motorcycles for sale on OfferUp. It's a fact. Was I offended when someone came in way too hot on the offer? Would I have said, oh, back off, dude, I'm reporting you? No, I don't care. My response was, hey, thank you very much. I'll tell you that that's nowhere near my bottom number. You know, if you want to try again, I even said, I'm like, I'm not messing around. I came back with, look, thank you very much. My bottom number is X. Let me know if that works for you. And what's funny is he came back again, not at my bottom number, and I reiterated, my bottom number is X.
That's it.
And I'm not, it's not wrong.
No.
He's not trying
it's
to
not
scam
offensive.
Me.
No.
I don't think of it. It's like, if you think this is wrong, then you should be, every time you're at the checkout counter, no matter what you're buying, you should say, I know that this is a sale price, but I need to pay the full price. Like, what the heck? Who does that? You know? You know, you would always just see the sticker price on a car and just go, I guess that's what it costs.
The root of this problem, because I thought about this for a while.
Yeah.
Unlike most shows. The root of this problem is, are these people being taken advantage of somehow? All the people that I've ever spoken with all throughout the years, people I respect, this is a hot button for some people.
Okay.
They, for some reason, believe that real estate as a product type or as a commodity or something that you buy and sell is entirely and completely different than a gallon of milk or a shop broom or an automobile. For some reason, this product type evokes this thing where you need to be responsible as a buyer. And I say air quotes responsible, and give that person what that property is worth that day.
Who says that?
A lot of people, Joe.
No, real estate agents
didn't
say that?
Hold on. I know that you're not aware of this, because during the early days when the whole world was sending offers to owners,
right?
There was a big, big issue, especially with back tax property, where you would pick out all the properties that have accumulated back taxes in a county and send them an offer of, you know, obscenely low. Just to get, which, you know what, we still do. We still do that in an adverse possession way. So, you know, but it's not, I'm not taking advantage of anybody. Mm-hmm. They've already told the whole world they don't want the property.
Right.
And they're not
and they're walking away.
Taxes. So this is how I look at it. Yeah. This is the real meat of the show. I'm solving your problem.
It's true.
And that's what, when you get into this, if you've never sent it out an offer campaign, there's no way you could know this until you actually do it yourself.
Right.
When you send one out, the people are going to sign it. You're going to call them and say, yeah, I'm ready to buy your property for $10,000. And I know it's, you don't say this, but you know it's worth 20.
Right.
And you know what they say?
Thank you.
Thank you.
How fast can I get the check? Did you? Can we do it on Tuesday? Because I'm leaving town. That's what they say. Well, you know, I was just thinking about one thing. When you brought up a good point that some people said, like, taking advantage of people. Some do, and that makes me mad. So this is a whole different thing that I want to just reiterate. We are sending good, solid, non-sleazy, nothing gimmicky offers. And we all get those in the mail. So there's a little bit of a difference. And there are people out there that I do think are not nice. They sound like, oh, open this letter today. Your property is about
to avoid
be
foreclosure.
Foreclosed on. Or all this bad stuff's going to happen. Now, that stuff is mean. And that is wrong. And I don't agree with that.
I agree.
So there is a subgroup, which we don't associate with, that does stuff like that. I don't know who those people are. And I don't want to know those people.
Yeah. Well, no one who pulls tricks that are like tricks.
Yeah.
There's a whole section of people on this planet that believe that the only way to make money is to kind of screw somebody over. And that's not. And that's where this is all wrapped up in that.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with sending tons and tons of offers to people that are signed properly and you're following through and you have an internet presence and you're buying people's property and solving their problems.
We are all shopping for the best price of everything. I don't care if it's, you know, a piece of property, a car, a suit for an event you're going to. Come on, you're all shopping. We're not going to say, you know what, this is really high quality. I think I owe you more money.
It's an interesting topic. It's one that we haven't talked about in a long time, and I think it's clearly obvious where we stand on it.
Totally.
I'd like to have a psychiatrist on the show one day.
Wouldn't that be funny?
To find out where this comes from, to find out, because, you know, to finish my thought here, if you've never sent out an offer campaign, and you really should, by the way, but if you've never done it, there's no way you could know this, but there's a certain number of people that call back or write back that are very offended by this offer, you know, and I've tested this. So I've sent offers for full price. I've sent retail offers just to prove a point in the past.
And then what was the response?
Same thing.
They're still mad.
Certain percentage of the people are livid.
Yeah.
So it can't be the offer amount. I just think that they're offended that a lot of them are really concerned that we have access to their data.
Yeah.
We have access to like a tremendous amount of data.
Correct.
About their
that
property and if there's a mortgage on it and what's going on. I mean, that's a popular question when we send these offer campaigns.
That's
like,
very true.
Where did you get this information? So I think that might be part of it too.
I understand that.
None of this should stop you. Oh, so to answer the question, is it wrong to send low-value offers to owners? No.
Nope.
Is it illegal? No.
Nope.
Is it unethical?
Nope.
Exactly. We're right on the same page
today. Thank you.
We know your time's valuable, and thanks for sharing it, some of it with us today. Join us next time for the episode called The Top 3 Things to Review Before Buying a Piece of Land.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I got to tell you, I'm so excited right now, just so you know. House Academy podcast is out there and live. So if you don't get enough of us here, you can listen to that show too.
Yeah.
By the way, just so you know.
A couple days ago, actually.
Exactly.
House Academy show.
Yeah. It's there. It's live. Just sharing that.
We have a whole flipping operation, a whole house wholesaling flipping operation that's been going on for years and years, a decade actually.
Yeah.
More than a decade. And we just haven't really focused on it until we started talking about it on this show.
Yeah.
And everybody.
It's like, what are you guys doing over there?
So we launched the whole thing.
Here we go again. Wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.